Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stoniker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stoniker.
I would like to bring a message to you from Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. In this entire chapter, our Lord is exposing false religion. That's what He is exposing here throughout Mark chapter 12. Now, one of the definitions of being religious is, if a person is religious, here's the definition of it: devotion to duty. Devotion to duty. Being committed to something that I feel I need to be committed to. Doing it over and over and over again. You know, you can do anything religiously. I mean anything. You can be committed to anything, and you can do it over and over and over again. You can do something so much you don't even have to really think about it anymore. Your mind can just go into autopilot. You can do it so much it becomes second nature to you. And that happens to me a lot of times whenever I get in my car. I have certain places that I drive, and I feel like sometimes I get in my car and it just goes there, and I'm not even paying attention to where I'm going. I'm sure you've experienced that. And I'll catch myself often realizing I'm going the wrong way. I'm supposed to go to this other direction. But my car is just mindlessly driving to where it always drives to. It's like I have blinders on, and I can't see what's around me. And I'm afraid, I fear that religion, false religion, is blinding people. I fear that false religion has put blinders on men and women. And I'm afraid that religion is making people blind leaders of the blind. That's what I'm afraid is taking place. Isn't that what our Lord said? The Pharisees were the leaders of false religion, blind leaders of the blind. I'm afraid that people are mindlessly following men because that's what they've always done. They're just doing what they've always done. Mindlessly following men who have no idea what they're doing. They stand up behind a pulpit and they have no idea what they're saying. No idea what they're preaching. And the people have no idea what they're hearing. I'm afraid that if you ask men and women, what did you hear today? You went to a church service. What did you hear? What was it all about? What is truly salvation? What does God have to say about it? That's the question. I'm afraid people have no idea what they're hearing. I'm afraid men and women are just on autopilot in religion. The autopilot of religion, trying to be committed to what they think they're supposed to be doing. Their heart is trying. They believe in their heart, this is what I ought to be doing now. We need to be going to church. We need to be. And they're trying to be committed to it. Having no idea that false religion is autopiloting men and women straight into the depths of hell. And every time I say that, I realize that is a very shocking statement. Every time I say that, it's shocking to me. False religion is doing that to men and women. People believe, well, if you have religion, you're okay. Your religion may be a little different from my religion, but it's okay. At least you have religion. It's not so. False religion is autopiloting men and women straight into the depths of hell. It's happening every single day. day. If I want my soul to be damned for all eternity, all I have to do is get false religion. That's sobering, isn't it? That makes me want to take a second look at my religion. That makes me want to take a second look at what I believe. I don't want to be in false religion. I'm trying to speak as honestly with you as I can right now. I'm speaking from my heart. I don't want to be in false religion. I want to be in Christ. I want to be in Christ. I want to worship the true and living God religiously, over and over and over again. I want to be committed to worshiping Him, the true God. But Lord, please spare me. Please, please spare me from the lies and the damnation of false religion. Please do that for me. Now, right here in our text, there was a man who was in the Bible business. He was a scribe. That's what he did for a living. Scribes wrote the Bible by trade. They didn't have printing presses back then, so they couldn't just print more copies. Men had to take a copy of the Scripture and transcribe it over because those papers would deteriorate over time. And had we not had these scribes, the Scriptures would have been lost. So he literally was in the Bible every single day. It's what he did for a living. He made copies of the Bible. And he came up to the Lord here in this chapter, Mark chapter 12, and he said, "Master, you've said the truth." The Lord said some things, and he acknowledged, "You've said the truth. There is one God." That's what this man said. There's one God. "And to love Him with all the heart is better than any sacrifice." And the Lord said to him, this was the Lord's answer. He said, "You're not in the kingdom of God." That was his answer to him. He said, "You're not far from the kingdom," which means you're not in it. And that man turned and walked away. He just turned around and he walked away. Does that stop anybody's autopilot? It stops mine. Why was he not in the kingdom of God? How could the Lord say that to him? Why would the Lord say that to him? The reason is because all that man had was religion. That's all he had. And religion cannot save anybody. People think, "Well, I want to be saved, so I need to go get religion." That's not how it works. Religion cannot save anybody. Right after that man walked away, it says in Mark 12, verse 35, Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David?" Why do the scribes, the man who just walked away, he was a scribe, and this man walks away, and the Lord said, "Why do the scribes say that Christ is the Son of David?" Why do they keep writing that over and over every single day, that Christ is the Son of David? Verse 36, "For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, 'The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.' David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" What he said was, if he's David's God, then how can he be David's son? That was the question the Lord asked. If he's David's God, how can he be his son? Verse 37 says, "And the common people heard him gladly." Who are the common people? the regular folks, those who don't know a whole lot about religion, just the regular old common people, they heard him say this and they said, "Now, wait a minute. While everybody else seems to be so blinded by religion and so caught up in what they're doing and just autopiloting and error and false doctrine and false religion, these common people said, "Now, wait a minute. He's about to actually tell us something about God." They recognized this. They said, "Something is different here. I hear what all these other men are saying. Something's different here. Something's different. I don't think he's going to tell us what we want to hear. I don't think he's just going to tell us what he thinks we want to hear so we can be happy. I don't think he's trying to just tickle our ear. I believe he's about to tell us the truth. It sounds to me like he is about to tell us the truth." Verse 38 says, "He said unto them in his doctrine, in his words, in his teaching." This is what the Lord said to them. "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace." He said, "Beware of the scribes." That's what he told these common people. I want to be a common person. Don't you? Beware means be cautious and alert to the dangers of. It means be on your guard. It means watch out for those who come to you in the name of religion. That's what God Almighty said. That's what the Lord said. Watch out. Beware. I am not here in the name of religion. I'm not here on this TV station this morning in the name of religion. I'm here in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm here speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 38 says, "He said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing." They love to put their robes on, all their what they believe to be holy garments on. And it says they love salutations in the marketplaces. They love that. They're not interested in getting alone in their closet. They like to do everything out in the open to be seen of men. You know, our Lord told us when we pray, get in our closet. I don't know why men decided that they need to do everything out in the open. Let's do it so everybody can watch us doing it. Our Lord said, when you pray, you get in your closet. They want to be seen. They want everybody to see them. They want everybody to hear them. They love these salutations. They want everybody to say, "Oh, what a religious man. Do you see him? Now that right there, that's a religious man." Our Lord said in verse 39, they love the chief seats in the synagogues. They love to sit up high so everybody can get a good look at them. They just want to be seen. He said, beware of those men. Be cautious and alert to the dangers of those men. Verse 39, he said, they love the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses. And that's exactly what they do. That is exactly what they do. They get up in pulpits and they get on TV and they say, if you want to be saved, you have to send in your money. That's what they say. Now listen to me. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to make an investment in God's storehouse. You want to be saved, don't you? Now you better send us your money. That's what they say. Listen. And I say this as humbly as I can say it. I'm here to tell the truth. I'm here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to tell the truth. And this is the truth right here. God does not beg for money. God does not beg for money. God does not raise money. God does not ask for money. You know what God said? God said, all the gold is mine. He said, all the silver is mine. He said, all the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. He said, everything is mine. He said, I believe it's in Psalm 50, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. If I needed anything, I wouldn't come to you for it. God does not ask for money. If you hear a man saying, now, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to send us your money. You're going to have to... Don't listen to that man. He's not of God. He's not speaking on God's behalf. God does not beg for money. He does not do it. Verse 40, he said, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. You know what the word pretense means? It means an attempt to make something that is not the case appear true. It means make believe. It means putting on an act. It means faking. That's exactly what false religion is. That's what our Lord said it was. They put so much sorrow on their faces for a pretense. They make these long prayers. You know, they can't just bow their heads like the Lord told them to do. They lift their heads up so everybody can see all this agony that they put on their face. Listen to what our Lord has to say about it. The end of verse 40, he said, for a pretense they make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Oh. They're going to receive greater damnation. The Lord said, beware of them. Don't fall in with them. Don't do it. You do not want to receive the same damnation that they're going to receive. That's what he's saying. And I'm telling you, I do not want to fall in with false religion. I don't want to have anything to do with what the world calls religion. What is against what God calls true religion. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I do not want to fall into that same damnation. By God's grace, I'm here to declare the truth. By God's grace, I'm here to tell the truth about God and how He saves sinners like me. And that's it. I'm here to tell the truth of how sinners like you and me can be saved. And I'm going to tell you this, it's not through our giving. It's not through our doing anything. Starting with giving. We don't give a dime in order for God to save us. We don't make investments in God's storehouse. We don't do that. Not to be saved. We cannot buy our salvation. Cannot do it. It's not through anything on our part. Salvation is not through anything on our part. And I'll tell you this too. When it comes to this issue of salvation, we don't have to let Jesus come into our heart. Men will stand up and tell you that's the next thing now. You're going to have to let Jesus come into your heart. If you want to be saved, you're just going to have to go ahead and unlock the door of your heart. You're going to have to let Him in. He's standing there knocking. This is what they tell people. He's standing there at your heart's door knocking. You're going to have to open that heart's door if He's going to save you. Let me tell you the truth of the matter. If God wants to come into our heart's door, if God wants to come into our heart, He will knock the door down. That's what will happen. He will knock our heart's door down. If God Almighty wants in, He's coming in. He is coming in. He will take what belongs to Him. He owns it all. He owns you and me both. And He will take what belongs to Him in your heart and my heart. If He comes and knocks our heart's door down and lays hold on us and takes up residency in there, we will cry in our hearts, Abba, Father. We will. So don't worry if you won't let Him into your heart. Some people hear that and think, well, what if I don't let Him in? What if I don't let Him in? What if I never open my heart's door? Trust me, it's not a problem. It's not a problem at all. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to accept Him as your personal Savior in order to be saved. That's another thing that men stand up and tell people. You're going to have to accept Him as your personal Savior. No, you don't. You don't have to pray a sinner's prayer. You don't have to do that. You don't have to come down to the front of a church building and shake anybody's hand. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get into a tub of water not to be saved. You don't have to eat a wafer. You don't have to drink a cup of wine. You don't have to do anything. And I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you why. The Lord asked them a great mystery. How can the Christ be David's Lord and David's Son? The answer to that question is salvation. The answer to that question, our Lord so wisely asked that question. The answer to that question is salvation. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says in verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God was manifest in the flesh. The God of all heaven and earth made Himself to be born in the likeness of sinful flesh. If He's David's God, how can He be David's Son? Isn't that the question? If this is God, I mean God, how could He become a child? If this is God, how could He become a child? If this is the Almighty God, how could He be tempted for 40 days and be weak and hungry? If He's the Almighty God. If this is the God who created everything, how could He have no place to lay His head? How is that possible? It's because He humbled Himself. And He made Himself to be a servant for sinners like you and me. He came here and He obeyed the will of His Father perfectly. Everything God demanded of us, He obeyed it perfectly. It says in verse 16, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit." Justified in the Spirit. God the Father said out loud, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Everything He's done as He walked this earth, I'm well pleased with it. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the only man God the Father ever said that about. The only man. And God said to him, "Here are the sins of My people and your people. Here are the sins of every soul I chose to save. You take them and you put them away." So God in human flesh, He walked straight into the heart of Jerusalem, bearing the sin of His people. And He allowed them to nail Him and the sins of His people to the cross of Calvary. And on the cross of Calvary, they all died. He died and the sins of His people died. And as the final blow of God's wrath came down on the Lord Jesus Christ, He cried so everyone could hear, "It is finished." It's finished. What He was saying was, you don't have to give a dime. I paid it all. I've paid it all. The price is paid in full. Verse 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels. God sent those angels down. They rolled that stone away, and the angels watched the Lord of glory walk out of the tomb. They watched the Lord of glory walk straight out of the grave. And they waited around to tell everybody, He is not here. He is risen, as He said. Right now, today, He is being, as verse 16 says, preached unto the Gentiles. Who He is, what He has done, where He is right now. And if God in mercy will send His Spirit and call out His sheep, He will be, as verse 16 says, believed on in the world. And His promise is every soul that believes on Him will be received up into glory. Every single one, just like He was. That is the truth of salvation. Christ did it all. Christ paid it all. It's done. Salvation is a notification, not a plan of attack. It's a notification that the battle's over. The war is over. But I will tell you this, and I'm going to close with this. He did not come to save everybody. He did not come to save every soul on this earth. Only a particular, certain, chosen group of people can have the hope of this salvation. And I'm going to show you who it is. And you look at this with me to see if you fall into this category. Only these particular people can have the hope of the salvation that Christ accomplished on the cross. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The apostle said, of whom I'm chief. If you're not a sinner, this does not apply to you. But if you are a sinner, then I'm here to tell you the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save you from your sins. You believe on Him. Bow to Him, and you'll find rest. Till next week, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.